Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, Cardinals-Bears coming up from Soldier Field. Kickoff is 48 hours from right now. You ready for that? 48 hours from right now, you're going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm kind of ready for that. I really am.
I hadn't gathered.
It's not an angry Friday. It isn't. It's a hopeful Friday. But the intensity, the dirtiness of this game has got me, got me going right now.
Going to get some deep dish pizza, Wolf?
No. Are you kidding me? No way. That's not pizza. What is that?
Oh,
that is, I know.
There we go.
That's just a mess is what that is right there. Deep dish.
It's a delicious mess, though.
Pizza, no thank you. You can keep your Chicago pizza.
This from a guy that's going to be drinking shots of hot sauce later on in the show.
Yeah, so you don't have any, do you?
Well, somebody does somewhere around here.
I'm just saying.
So just be ready
drink
for
it right now.
I have a feeling this show may start to get incrementally crazier as we go. Because we're going to talk to Tom Thayer, Bears radio analyst, in a little bit. We're going to play Fulcrum football. We're going to talk to Paul Calvisi. We're going to talk to K-Ray ahead of the game against the Golden State Warriors. And yes, somewhere in there, we're just going to start doing shots of hot sauce. Because we can?
Because we can.
But to the game on Sunday, this is Ian Rappaport yesterday talking about the expected returns of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, the rules for timeout, Andrew, basically the amount of time you have to stay in timeout is the amount of minutes as old you are. So if you're 5 years old, you have to stay in timeout for 5 minutes. The main point for these guys, they've been in timeout long enough. So for the Arizona Cardinals, who were on a bye last week and obviously did not have DeAndre Hopkins or star receiver or Kyler Murray, they're starting and star quarterback for the past several games. Both of these guys, I am told, are expected back and to play for the Arizona Cardinals this week, barring some sort of setback. Now for Kyler Murray, it has been a high ankle sprain that kept him on the sidelines for almost a month, three games, and then the bye week for DeAndre Hopkins. It has been a hamstring. You can see right here, D-Hop, pretty active on social media. He knows he is back in action, and barring some sort of something that could happen in practice, both of these guys should be back on Sunday in a big game for the Cardinals.
When was that?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Okay, so now you heard Sarah Cazell's update. Now, I don't know if we're reading anything into this or not.
You're reading into it.
I'm not yet.
You're a disaster.
We're not going to. That might be true. Well, we're not going to have to read into it because Darren Urban, or Derb, as you call him, tweeted out that DeAndre Hopkins not present during the open part of Cardinals practice today. Kyler Murray was. Justin Pugh was out watching but not working. But he also notes DeAndre Hopkins is talking to the media today, so we may get some answers from DeAndre Hopkins. What'd you think when you first heard Hopkins not out there at practice today?
I thought, you know what, he must have tweaked it
so
yesterday.
You're the disaster.
Well, I'm just saying, of course, it's the law of the locker room. Okay, you rip those that you love. If you're the disaster, you rip them because you love them. Okay, now listen, this is not... This right here does not mean that DeAndre Hopkins is not going to play, but it does make me think immediately on a Friday. It's not like they're giving him a day off, right? He's had an awful lot of time off.
37 days.
Is there a possibility that D-Hop retweaked that thing?
Yes, there's a possibility. Yeah, there's no way to not think that. That doesn't mean he's not playing. But again, that clip from Ian Rappaport was from yesterday.
He's
probably back. And then, you know, who knows, maybe.
But you said D-Hop is actually talking today, right?
Supposed to talk to the media today.
Okay,
yeah,
that ought to be. When exactly is that? Okay. Are we going to be on the air when he's talking to the media?
So. Let's just go to the podium live and sit there for 2 hours. That's how big of a deal it is.
Let's take that thing live. Okay, that's not going to work. You know what? I'll tell you what will work, though. Honestly, it's still about the line of scrimmage. This is what I continue to focus on right now. No offense to Kyler Murray. No offense to DeAndre Hopkins. I honestly think this game is going to be won or lost by the Arizona Cardinals on the line of scrimmage.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this then, because with that in mind, with the weather that we've been talking about and what we hear it's supposed to be like, and like you're saying, that if you're playing a Chicago team, that they know their only chance probably is to win the line of scrimmage battle. So if you win that, you're going
to
win the game. Kyler Murray, it sounds like, will be back on Sunday. At least it sure sounds like it. And in fact, he was asked, this is from Wednesday, if anyone's going to have to adjust to Kyler when he gets back out there.
Maybe, you know, maybe offensive line-wise, like, you know, cadence and stuff like that, drops, you know, depth of drops. Just, I mean, if we're trying to get technical, yeah, maybe. But I don't think so, you know. These guys have been around me for a long time. You know, so I think it should be an easy transition.
Since we're in the business that that likes to overreact, I'm just going to try and set some parameters right now for Monday. If Kyler Murray is out there and he's playing and the Cardinals win, but it's not a pretty game. It's a, you know, it's a 20-13. It's just kind of an ugly.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be raining and windy all game. How much are you going to take from that specific to Kyler? Because you know how the initial reaction is going to be like, well, his first game back, his numbers were not very good.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean,
well, you know what? Honestly, Dak Prescott's numbers were not good. Russell Wilson's numbers were not good. Aaron Rodgers' numbers.
Russell Wilson's numbers still aren't good. It's been a month.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, right. What's your point, Luke?
That,
I guess
that
what
made
I'm
my
saying
point.
Is, yes, of course. Listen, I'm not gonna overreact to anything I see from Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Anything that I see, good or bad, from Kyler Murray. I might overreact if, in fact, he goes out and throws for 400 yards like I was talking about.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if that were to happen? Of course, I didn't know that it was going to be cold, this cold, and this rainy, and this windy. Because right now, it's what, 18 miles an hour is what they're saying?
It's going up every time I check.
It goes up. 90% chance of rain. We started talking about this when it was 40. Yeah. 40% chance of rain. And yes, the fact that the temperature hasn't fallen and it's still at 48 degrees, it was 46 degrees earlier, the forecast, that just makes it nastier. The fact that there's not going to be snow, there's a much better chance of there being sleet and rain, that cold, drizzly rain right there. Honestly, I'm not going to read too much into what Kyler Murray does unless he goes out and lights it up. Then I might overreact.
Well, yeah, if he's going to go out there and throw for, what'd you say, 400 yards in that weather, they're not going to let him
I'm
throw.
I'm being a little facetious,
okay, but 300
right there, but
even.
You get my point.
Yeah.
If he goes out there and looks like, oh my goodness, these conditions are not affecting him in any way, shape, or form, yeah, I might overreact on that one.
Yeah, I might be with you on that one, actually. If he steps right back in after what we have seen
right.
from some of these other quarterbacks
right.
that weren't playing in that. Well, I guess Rodgers and Russ came back in snow, but it was cold. It didn't look like it was windy and nasty, and like we may see sideways rain.
Not like this.
Attention Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all next week as the division rival LA Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football on December 13th. Text red to 620-620 and listen for your name 7:30, 12:30, and 4:30 next week to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. That might be for the division, honestly. So text red to 620-620. After beating them on Tuesday, the Suns get the Warriors again tonight, and they'll do it without Devin Booker. So what's at stake in this one? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station. Pickup truck, import sedan. Wolf and Luke.
Suns Warriors tonight, part two. They're going to do this three times here before the new year, and then once kind of like late second half of the season, and then hopefully a best of seven in the playoffs too. We'll see. So we saw the one on Tuesday night, Wolf, did not disappoint. And I'm only partially saying that because the Suns won. I mean, that was just a good back-and-forth game. And it was good. Now looking back in retrospect, without Devin Booker playing much of the game because he got hurt, and with Steph Curry having the worst shooting performance of his career in a game where he takes 20 shots.
Yeah.
So even with all that, that game did not disappoint. Tonight, you flip it back around. Golden State's at home. You figure Steph's going to have a better night, even with Mikal Bridges on him. The Suns don't have Devin Booker. The Suns played last night. Golden State hasn't played since Tuesday.
Right.
You add all that up, and the Phoenix Suns, on an 18-game winning streak, are 7-point underdogs tonight.
You know what, though? Honestly, would you dispute that? Would you say they're the underdog to begin with?
I understand the logic.
I have to say yes.
But they've won 18 games in a row.
I totally understand.
It's really hard to pick against
them.
There.
But again, the fact that the Warriors have been sitting around since Tuesday, sitting in the stew, so to speak, as to what happened on Tuesday night, waiting for the Suns. For me right now, yeah, the Warriors are playing at home. The Suns played last night. They're playing the back end of a back-to-back tonight. Yeah, you know what? I get it. I understand. I'm a little surprised it's not 10.
10? I understand that why Golden State is favored. 7 seems a bit high. But regardless, what it does is put the Suns in this weird spot where, look, if you go there and you lose tonight, we're all just going to be like, hey, the streak ended, 18 games. So very impressive. You lost to a really good team. Everything we just said. What if they go in there and beat Golden State tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that right now? Seriously. You want to talk about overreact? I'm glad I'm off the air at that point in time.
Yeah.
I might start making declarations, proclamations, edicts, dare I say, in regard to the Suns. And you never want to do that. You have to take it one game at a time. Keep your head down, focus on the process and not the end game. And that's where we all want to go right now. And that's what makes what the Phoenix Suns have done so impressive to me. 18 games in a row now. This is my favorite win. This is my favorite win of the win
streak.
You
love that Detroit win.
I know why. I know why people would say, well, you got to be kidding me, Wolf. How is it not Golden State win number 17? I get that. I understand. Yet, for me as a professional athlete, you can get up for the best teams in the league. Man, it's easy to get up for the best teams in the league. When we played the Chicago Bears in 1985, oh, it was easy to get up for the Chicago Bears.
You don't have a choice.
But you don't have a choice. You better get up and you better fight or you better run. You get to choose. So it's easy to get up for the Golden State Warriors. Now all of a sudden you've got a situation where you're playing the worst team in the association, in the Detroit Pistons. You just came off this emotional 17 games in a row, this emotional victory against the best team in the association, and now all of a sudden you're playing the worst team in the association, and you don't have Devin Booker, and now all of a sudden you're playing at home as well. And now you're going to be playing the Golden State Warriors once again the next day after playing the Pistons, the worst team in the league. That is the epitome of a trap game, if ever there was. And yet, honestly, the Suns went out there, they took care of business, they got an 18-point lead, and then they blew that 18-point lead.
Pretty quickly, actually.
They blew that 18-point lead. Suddenly it was 82-82, and then the Suns said, okay, I guess we're playing for keeps. And that was it. They started bawling from that point forward, and they won the game.
The key is getting out to the start they got out to, right? I mean, if you're going into a trap game, like you said, it's the definition of a trap game. Your human nature, we're all looking ahead to the Golden State game tonight. You just played Golden State. You're down Devin Booker. You're playing Detroit, who is not good. Cade Cunningham looks good. It looks like he's coming around. I know Jeremy Grant had a huge game last night, but Cade Cunningham being the number one overall pick here just a couple months ago. But yeah, you're going into that game thinking, okay, if we show up, we're going to win. The biggest thing is to get that huge lead that they got, because if you hit a lull in that game, as they did, you're not losing by 15 points. You're still up, and they were able to recover and kind of just finish it off. And I mean, they continue to be clutch in those final 5 minutes. There were points in that game last night, I got to say. When you watch the Suns and it's Chris Paul and it's Devin Booker out there, it's very clearly their team. You know what I mean? Everybody else falls in line behind them, and it's not to say other guys don't play important roles. This is not like when you're in Little League and they send you off to right field and they're like, hey, that's an important position. You stand out there where the ball never gets hit. Everybody else on this team has important roles, but it's Devin Booker and Chris Paul's team. When Booker's not out there, there's not really a second in command. Like, it just doesn't, it feels like this is Chris Paul's team. Mm-hmm. Mikal Bridges might be winning you the game. Cam Johnson might get hot. Cameron Payne was huge last night.
Huge.
But it really just felt like it was just sort of Chris Paul and then all of his guys around him.
Yeah.
But it worked. And this is Cam Johnson after the game talking about now quick turnaround playing Golden State again.
A team that we just played and we beat at home. We get to go to their place. Division game. There's a lot on the line, so you have to. This is what playing in the NBA is about, going into these environments with you know, these implications. And granted, it's a December game, but it means a lot. You know, and it means a lot to us, and to continue this streak, and it's going to be a fun one.
Well, you just did it in New York, right?
Right.
The Knicks and the Nets.
Right. Right. And that's exactly the mindset we're going to have. Like you said, Knicks and Nets was back-to-back, on the road, Thanksgiving. Longer trip, and you know, I think we came out with energy in both of those, and it's going to be on us to come out with the same energy again tomorrow night.
See, I'm not so worried about the back-to-back. It's more playing Golden State twice, and really it's just playing them without Devin Booker. And if I'm concerned about the back-to-back at all, it's just Mikal Bridges. Are you going to play him 41 minutes tonight? Is he going to play 82 minutes in the span of like 27 hours? But he can. He does. It's not like Mikal Bridges looks like he's wearing down. It's just more.
It's not like he's raising his hand either and saying, please.
Well, he never would.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of guys who would, Luke.
Well, but he wouldn't.
That's the great thing about it. But recognize that.
Yeah.
Recognize that as a strength. And don't just gloss over it because he wouldn't. Understand, there's a lot of guys who would be like, hey, listen, I think we all understand. You're really overplaying me here. 41 minutes. What was it? What's the last four games he's played?
39 four games ago, then 41, 41, 41.
How about that right there?
And those are hard minutes.
That is heavy and hard. You're talking about chasing Steph Curry all over the floor.
And James
he's
Harden.
He's going to do it tonight.
James Harden the game
exactly
before.
Exactly right. So is he going to do that tonight? I mean, honestly, at some point in time, you have to appreciate the fact Mikal Bridges isn't raising his hand.
No, and their schedule's been ridiculous in the sense that it was, what, 15 games and 26 days there. There was a stretch in there where it was 15 games, 26 days, and they won all 15. It kind of lightens up.
They won all 15.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Still gloss
no,
over
that's
that. They won all 15 games, Ron Wolfley reporting.
The game tonight, they finally get a couple days off. They'll host San Antonio Monday. Then they're off again until Friday. They'll host Boston. Then they're off all next weekend, and then they will go to L.A. Monday, December 13th. How about that? Suns, Clippers, Cardinals, Rams on Monday night, December 13th.
Here we go.
Take that, LA. But don't.
And the intensity that day is going to be just lit.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun day. So four games now in the next. I mean, that's what, 10 days. That's a little bit more like it.
Yeah,
you deserve right. A little bit of a break after going through the gauntlet they've just gone through, especially when you win every game.
You know, for me, once again, I would say if you're a Suns fan this morning, Basinonians, rejoice. You got some bad, bad men playing basketball in your city. Now, listen, that doesn't mean they're going to win a championship, Luke. It doesn't. It means they have everything it takes to win a championship. And now they have to play up to their potential. That's all they have to do is play up to their potential. And they got a shot at winning a championship. They're going to get that shot in the postseason. Once again, who knows what's going to happen in the postseason? We all understand that's almost like a second season. You can't predict what's going to happen. But for me, right now, based on what we've seen through a quarter of the season, what we've seen, which to me is a large enough sample size, this is a bunch of bad, bad dudes. And I mean that in a very competitive, very excellent way for a professional sports team.
Cameron Payne, real quick, after the game last night.
I just feel like we got to come ready to play. I mean, everybody coming to get us. We just got to be ready. Got to come play our way. Play Suns basketball.
It really is. I know I keep going back to the two things that are most impressive to me about this streak. The fact that they're able to put this together after getting as close as they got last year to be able to get up for every regular season game like this. That's the first half of it. The second half is what Cameron Payne just said. Look, that was Detroit's biggest game of the first half of the season, if they could go out there and end the Suns' winning streak. What else does Detroit really have to play for this season? They're trying to improve. They're trying to get better. I understand that. They're building around Cade Cunningham. It's not like they have nothing. But in terms of a game that if they win and they could point back to it. It absolutely, we've been on the other side of this. Remember when the Suns were miserable 4 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, but they beat Boston, or oh, they did this.
Oh, yeah, we remember.
Yeah, so that was Detroit last night. If they could beat the Suns, it was like, okay, but we snapped the Suns' winning streak. At least there's like a signature win for our season. The Suns are facing that every night. And, you know, Golden State tonight, I guess you're not facing, hey, this is our season. You're facing a team that wants you out of the way.
Yeah.
That's what you're facing. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, get back into Cardinals and Bears with Chicago Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer. That's next. Wolf and Luke on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, we've been giving you the Cardinals' perspective on this game on Sunday against the Chicago Bears all week, but it may as well be a good time to get some perspective from the Chicago side of things. And so to do that, we're going to go to Chicago and talk to Tom Thayer, the Bears radio analyst, of course, former NFL lineman for the Bears.
Tommy!
Wolf, you know him.
That's right, Tom. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, buddy. I really appreciate you taking some time and joining us here and talking a little Chicago Bears football. So when I say Chicago Bears, give me a state, Tommy, of the Chicago Bears, where they are right now at this point of the season.
All confused. You know, it started out when they signed Andy Dalton to a free agent contract in the offseason. They anointed him QB1. And then draft night, they came across the opportunity to make a trade up and bring in Justin Fields, and that created the confusion right there. Mm. Rather than having an open-stated competition for the quarterback position, they continued to anoint Andy Dalton, the starting quarterback of the Bears. And then he got injured quickly in the season, but then Justin Fields started to gain a little bit of momentum. And they figured if this is going to be our future, let's continue along with the Justin Fields process rather than the Andy Dalton QB1 that we anointed early in the season. Then Justin Fields started his first game of the year against Cleveland, got sacked 9 times. And they kind of became confused because as much as they thought he was ready because he ran so well in the combine and he's got really good long ball accuracy, he was having difficulty reading the line of scrimmage. So it just, it's been kind of like that state of confusion ever since. And it continues this week with Justin Fields being out of the lineup with a rib issue. Andy Dalton going into Detroit last week and winning the game on an 18-play, 8-minute drive at the end of the game. Enough points just to win. You know, we have a first-time new defensive coordinator that's trying to fill the void of marquee players like Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, and Eddie Jackson was banged up a little bit throughout the season, trying to fill the void for some real star potential to, you know, supplement it with guys that started the season in a backup role are now starters. So confuses is the best way I can put it.
I think we have a pretty good sense of how Bears fans feel about Matt Nagy, but how do the fans feel about Justin Fields as far as not just this year, but like, is there confidence he's going to be the guy they can build around for the next 5 years?
Yeah. You know, his confidence is high in Justin. He's got great work ethic. One of the things that Mitchell Trubisky really couldn't show any improvement on is long ball accuracy, any pass over 20 yards. Justin Fields is great at it. It's just natural. He's got, you know, real, you know, arm talent. And when you talk about running a 4.4 at the combine, you know, in the 40, he's got escapability. He's got versatility. He's got everything that you'd want to feature in a modern day offense today of the whole RPO threat. But, you know, he's got a lot of, experience that he needs. He doesn't read the blitz line of scrimmage very well, and then he becomes susceptible to getting hit. There hasn't been a great, they haven't had the marquee number one wide receiver, although Darnell Mooney is a heck of a player. They had Allen Robinson, but he's been out the last 3 or 4 games with a hamstring issue. So, yeah, excitement is high for Justin. But, you know, you need that supporting cast surrounded or, you know, surrounding him. They went and drafted Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State early in the draft. He came in here, hasn't had a full padded practice because he had back surgery, and now he's trying to recover from the PUP list and seeing where he best fits in. They drafted Larry Borum in the fifth round at the offensive tackle position, and he looks like the higher drafted player. Right now he's starting at right tackle, but to me, from what I've seen, the evidence points to he has more ability at left tackle. So there's a lot of problems that they have to solve in the remainder of this year and going into next year.
Tommy, who would you like to see playing quarterback for the Chicago Bears this Sunday?
You know, if Andy Dalton didn't get hurt early in the season, I would like to have stuck with Andy Dalton to see what he can get out of this offense. Because, you know, like I said, you had Allen Robinson, you have Darnell Mooney, you drafted Cole Kmet last year, you had Jimmy Graham. They have David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. David Montgomery, the feature running back, is a heck of a running back. So I thought Andy Dalton, with his experiences at the line of scrimmage, he posed a bigger threat to opponents if they did want to show what they were doing at the line of scrimmage a little early. It confused Justin, and then Andy was able to take advantage of it. And, you know, I don't want to see a quarterback going out there who – is he doesn't understand what he's saying in the huddle. And, you know, nowadays with the terminology.
Yeah, Tommy, that's a big deal right there.
It is. It is. And, you know, and I felt, you know, listen, if you know, in this division, we're blessed, or not blessed, we're cursed with the example of watching a quarterback sit behind a quarterback, and that was Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Brett Favre, and now you see what they're able to develop. And, so I think if Justin would have had a little bit more time of understanding terminology, becoming familiar with exactly what it means when you break the huddle and what you see at the line of scrimmage, he can, you know, pose a bigger threat to the opponent. And so it'll be interesting to see how Andy Dalton fares this week at home in this Arizona game.
So you don't think, Tommy, that Justin Fields is going to come back and play this Sunday? You don't think that's going to be the case?
I don't think he will this Sunday. You know, for me, is, you know, because Justin doesn't understand the line of scrimmage very well right now, a lot of time he has to eject the pocket, and then he has to become a running quarterback. If he does have any lingering effect from what his rib injury was, and he takes an ugly shot, you know, it could set him back for the remainder of the season. To me, if Andy's healthy and ready to roll, that's what I'm going to roll with. And, you know, I kind of think that's the direction that they're pointing come Sunday.
Talking to Tom Thayer. Tom, what do the Bears do well this season? Like, what's the biggest strength the Cardinals got to kind of look out for on Sunday?
You know, Bill Lazor is the play caller. Didn't take it away from Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy had him to him, and he runs the ball 50 to 51% of the time. And David Montgomery is a heck of a hard tackle. Mm-hmm. If he gets you one on one in space, he's either going to run over you or he's going to make you miss in the open field. Khalil Herbert is a nice complementary running back for the, you know, if they're determined to run the ball, given what the conditions could possibly be like Sunday. And like I mentioned, Darnell Mooney, although he's kind of a 1A type of receiver, he runs all routes well. He's got courage across the middle. If you allow him to run out of the slot and you don't try to, you know, take him off of the path of his route, he can escape from defensive back and make difficult or big catches. So to me, it all starts with if the Bears are willing and determined to run the ball more than they throw the ball. I think that's probably the biggest asset they have on the offensive side of the ball. And on the defensive side of the ball is, what are you going to do against Robert Quinn? You know, the guy is rushing the passer right now, as well as the guys you guys got over there in Arizona. And Irvin probably is going to play this week that they signed a couple weeks ago. I don't know what he's got left in him, but with no Khalil Mack, they got to try to get some complimentary piece on the other end of the line of scrimmage.
You know, Tommy, because of the weather could be bad, I honestly think this game is going to be won or lost on the line of scrimmage. I really do believe that. This is going to be a dirty, nasty, physical football game. And I, for one,
I hope it. I hope it is.
That's right, Tom.
You know, from the Bears' standpoint, you know, somewhere, some way, shape, or form, if you want to have that nasty physical, you know, Midwestern attitude, it's got to start from the first time the Bears have the, you know, possession of the ball. And if they sit there and allow Arizona to get a couple scores and kind of open up the blitz floodgates of Arizona, it's trouble for our guys.
Tom Thayer,
Tom,
great
you're
stuff,
the best,
man.
Buddy.
Hey, I got a buddy out there who's listened to your show, Danny Wilson. I grew up with him my whole life, and he messaged me saying that he's listening to you guys. So I had a promise I'd give him a shout-out.
Nice.
Tommy, I'll hunt you down, man, on Sunday.
I'll see you there. Come
okay, brother.
A cup of coffee.
Thanks a lot. That's Tom Thayer joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. All right, when we come back, who's the most reliable pass catcher in football? NFL.com says it's a Cardinal, and it's not who you think. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A couple stories up on NFL.com today I looked at. There were two that I wanted to look at, Wolf, and before the show I read one. I just read the headline of the other, okay?
Okay.
And the headline of the one I didn't click on, like a fool, was the top 10 most reliable NFL pass catchers, okay? It's top 10 most reliable NFL pass catchers in the NFL. So
okay.
Maloney brought this up during the pre-show meeting because she actually reads the articles as opposed to just looking at the headlines like me, apparently. And she was asking us who to guess who's number one, and neither one of us could. So my first thought was, oh, it's got to be DeAndre Hopkins, right? I mean, if we're talking about it here, you know, probably some sort of Cardinals tie-in. You want me to just count up the list? I'll count up the list to one. You want to do that?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So you're going to start at what?
I'll start at 10.
10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I won't give away the whole list. I will start at we'll start at 6. Devontae Adams.
Why this rash judgment? Why just go ahead, say it quickly.
All
number
right.
10.
T.J. Hockenson, number 10,
oh,
a
whatever.
Lion.
Go to 9.
Yeah. I was trying to weed that part out. Jaylen Waddle, number 9, rookie. Not bad.
Jaylen Waddle, Wads.
Again, it's not the best receivers in the NFL. It's the most reliable pass catchers. Like, quarterback needs to make a play. Who can he throw to? Who's got the hands? Going to come up and make a play on
third
down?
Well, I would imagine the metric they're using would be drops, correct?
Let me see.
I mean,
the
honestly,
exact
when
logic.
You stop
at
it, maybe it's that. Maybe it's also first downs, moving the sticks. What is his first down percentage per catch? Maybe that is something they're taking into account.
They used a few different metrics. The guy that's number one that we're going to get to, they say he's there because he maximizes his targets, posting a catch rate of 80.3%.
There it is right there. Okay.
Overall for the list, he said the question, it's actually your boy, Nick Shook, that wrote the list. Remember Nick Shook?
Oh,
Nick
my
Shook
goodness.
Did the list.
Okay, now you ruined it.
I should have told you that at the end.
Shook.
Who stands out from the pack when it comes to proving themselves trustworthy in tough situations. Okay?
What did he shake?
So that question has yet to be answered. So Waddle is 9, Amari Cooper 8, Adam Thielen 7, Devontae Adams 6. Like, okay
so you're starting to, all of a sudden these names, this sounds like some of the best receivers in the National Football League.
Justin Jefferson 5, Cooper Kupp 4.
There we go, Cooper Kupp 4. Wow, Cooper Kupp is 4. I would have thought for sure he would have been in the top two.
Well, he's not. Chris Godwin is number 3, who I do think is
okay.
He's the underrated Buccaneers receiver. Hunter Renfrow, number 2.
Hunter Renfrow. Wow. That's stunning.
Number 1 is a Cardinal. It's not DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. AJ Green?
No, it's not AJ Green.
I said that for effect, of course.
Yes.
I knew it was.
Christian Kirk.
So.
Whoa.
Go ahead. What did they say about him? What exactly do they say? You referenced it a little bit, but I think it's important that people understand.
They have Kirk number 1 because he maximizes his targets, posting a catch rate of 80.3%, which leads all NFL wide receivers with a minimum of 60 targets.
So it's a situation where he's been targeted X amount of times, and he actually records a reception.
Basically, when Kyler Murray or Colt McCoy throws the ball Christian Kirk's way, he's catching it. His catch rate over expected is also significantly better than anyone else in the NFL at plus 13.6%.
Okay.
I didn't take a lot of calculus in college, a little bit.
Right, exactly.
But you know what I saw right there is better than anyone else in the NFL significantly.
See, for me, when I hear you say that, I'm just thinking, you know, okay, targets and receptions, yeah, I get that. That should be part of the equation. But drops, drops. How many times does a guy actually catch the ball as opposed to drop the ball? I'm sure that's got to be something they took into account.
Yeah, well, 49 catches on 61 targets. So, yeah, when you throw him the ball, he's catching it. But here's the two things I think about with Christian Kirk this year.
It's amazing because, once again, when you think of being dependable, I think of drops. That's the first thing that comes to mind for me.
But he's not dropping the ball. And the other thing is...
Yeah, but, I mean, just because he's targeted doesn't mean he's not... They're not recording drops.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying Kirk specifically this year is making the catch when they throw it to him. And on third and fourth down, that's what I think of when I think of Christian Kirk. 49 catches on 61 targets. And this year, a lot of those, it feels like, have come on third or fourth down. It's kind of been the guy that Kyler Murray, early in the season, he would go to him when he saw cover zero. He would just chuck it up to Christian Kirk. But there were a lot of times where, hey, we're going for it on fourth and six, Kirk's open. We're going for it on third and 13, Kirk's open.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, of course, earlier in the season as well, you could see it. Kyler Murray had this chemistry going once again with Christian Kirk that was really, really special, in particular on blitz situations where the opposing defense brought six or more people. You could see this chemistry developing. I will tell you right now, from speaking to quarterbacks so much of the time, quarterbacks will throw the ball to a dependable receiver because, A, the guy runs the correct route. That's number one. Never forget that. Never forget that. If a quarterback doesn't believe that this guy, this human being playing wide receiver, is going to run the correct route, you're not even going to look at him for the most part. Even if he's supposed to be the primary, not going to even look at him. Trust starts with running the right route. Trust starts with doing what you're supposed to do. That'll mess a quarterback up in a heartbeat if you're running the wrong route, busting routes. Can't do it. So that's number one. Number two, drops. If I throw it to you, are you going to catch it? And number three, if I throw it and it's errant, are you going to make the other or let the other guy catch it? Those three things right there, I think, from a quarterback's perspective, I think they would answer. They would use different metrics than what these people are using.
Well, it's your boy Nick Shook. But, again, I think the bigger picture thing with Christian Kirk specifically is he's not signed past this year. And this was a prove-it year for him. And he doesn't have, like, crazy numbers. None of the Cardinals receivers really have crazy numbers because the ball's been spread around so much.
Beautiful.
But he does lead the team in catches and yards at 628 yards on 49 catches. He has four touchdowns this season. And it's funny. I need to look at another team for comparison, but where they do the longest catch for each player on the team. I mean, the Cardinals, it's Kirk has a 50-yarder. Moore has a 77-yarder. Hopkins has a 55-yarder. Ertz has a 47. Green has a 41. James Conner has a 45. Like, everybody on the team has a long catch well over 40 yards.
Yeah.
That's great. Even Antoine Wesley has a 33-yarder. And that was from Christian Kirk, see? So that's that reliability. He can play quarterback for you, too.
Yeah, once again, it's so interesting we bring this up because, again, I don't think it's going to be the passing game that is going to be highlighted this weekend for the Arizona Cardinals. I do not. I think it is going to be the running game and the ability to run the ball that is going to be on display for all to see. And I think both teams are going to do it. This is going to be a filthy, nasty, dirty game. The kind of game that any physical football player would play for and jump into and love in every way, shape, and form. It's going to be nasty, bloody, dirty. Like it.
If Hopkins isn't playing for some reason, and we're going to hear from DeAndre Hopkins. He's talking after practice today. We'll have that for you at some point here in the show for sure. So keep it here. You're going to hear from DeAndre Hopkins because he didn't practice today, but he's obviously out there. He didn't practice. He wasn't at least out there in the open part to the media. If he's unable to go, is Christian Kirk the guy you're thinking? Because I hear what you're saying. It's probably going to be a running game, and maybe it's going to be short passes if you need five yards on third down.
Yep.
I mean, that to me kind of screams Christian Kirk type game, the way he has played this year. He's been a lot more reliable this year, I would say, than the last couple of years.
No, you're right about that. I would agree.
Coming up, we'll get into the latest headlines from around the world of sports today. Wolf and Down Your Lunch is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.